If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Ooh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and joining me is my co-host, a woman who may have inspired an entire reward challenge for the family visit, Jessica Lewis.
That is who I am. Thank you very much, David, for that introduction. And yeah, can we talk about that challenge or should we wait?
Well, we could talk about it. How did you like the Jessica Lewis Memorial Reward Challenge?
Oh, I think that's a much better name for it. I thought it was rather ridiculous, to be completely honest with you, because that's one of those challenges that I feel like, obviously, I missed out on it. But anyone who wants to see their loved one, which everybody wants to see their loved one, is going to push themselves that much harder in that challenge to try to win. And then to have it just a game of chance, that's kind of it's a sad way to build up to such a wonderful moment for everyone that I'm going to get to see my loved one. And then it turns into a game of chance.
No, it's not a game of chance, because Jeff Probst was saying they would will themselves to draw the same colored. Oh, please. Yeah, that, I mean, okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it was the worst challenge ever, period.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty extreme.
Well, okay, it was an extremely bad challenge.
And it's just because I feel like there's so much. I understand there's time constraints and that's all an issue, but there's such a huge buildup for that moment. And then to just have it like peter off because you're just picking out of a bag like that, it's just really, it was really not enjoyable to watch. It was almost uncomfortable, really, because just like that, you're out. Not even a chance. You can't root for anyone because in 2 seconds, they're done.
Right. And I mean, I understand that, you know, if you were someone whose loved one maybe wasn't as physically capable as the other loved ones, then yeah, this is a great challenge for you. You may have a better shot doing it, picking out of a bag than actually running something. But there had to have been a better way to do it.
Yes,
I account for that.
Yeah. And but the other thing, too, is they don't always have the loved ones involved in the challenges either. So I don't know. Obviously, in my season, the loved ones just sat by and watched. I know in some seasons they've actually participated. You would think that that would be something that would have been worked out ahead of time. If we have someone who's not capable of running the challenge, OK, then let's just have the survivors do it. But to go to bags of colored rocks or stones or whatever, it was all very anticlimactic.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny that they decided to do this not knowing how crazy the rest of the episode would be.
That's true. You
know, so they ended up having plenty of time to show all the back and forth, which they wouldn't have had otherwise. But the thing is, Jeff Probst had no way of knowing that ahead of time.
Right. That is true.
So now, you know, speaking of all the craziness that went on, I will say usually for the family visit episode, the secret scenes are filled with nothing but players going on and on about their loved ones with very little strategy talk at all. So imagine my surprise when I found quite the opposite this time. There was actually interesting stuff in most of those web clips.
Yes, I agree. There was a lot out there. There was a few mentions of food, but very little, and some mentions of loved ones, but also not what would be expected.
Right. So I was happy, and I was especially happy because some of the clips are interesting because they help paint a better picture of what was actually going on at the time. And, you know, so one of the things that happens a lot is there's this debate about whether post-game interviews are canon. And I often take the side that they pretty much are. But with Lauren, I have now found out that I can't say that because, she repeatedly said that Ben was paranoid and that's why Ben became a target. But in all of the in-game information I've seen so far, and a lot of it was in these clips, it reverses that. The secret scenes and also regular scenes on TV show that Lauren, Devin, and Ashley were the real core three-person alliance, and they intended to get the drop on Ben as soon as they could because he was too much of a threat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll put a pin in that for now because I think it's going to come up once or twice.
It probably will.
Just a guess here.
Yeah, just a guess.
So anyway, you know, for this podcast, we're in an interesting situation this week because Lauren was voted off by just one person. And, you know, Joe said on Twitter, Jeff Probst shouldn't have said the tribe has spoken, but he should have said something like Ben has spoken.
Yes. Very good point. Very good point.
But, you know, really, it's interesting because almost half the tribe was going to vote her off originally anyway. And it was only because there was a live tribal council that prevented it. And
you said it. You said it.
It was a live tribal council. I know that I say they don't happen very often, and certainly not as often as Survivor wants us to think they happen or Jeff Probst wants us to think they happen. This was one of the few real, actual live tribal
councils. It really was. And I, when I was watching this happen and as it was unfolding, that's what I was thinking to myself was, this is what David says doesn't exist.
I don't say it doesn't exist. It's not, you know, it's like a unicorn or a dragon. It's, you know, it's yeah, more like an albino zebra or something like that.
That
it's
would
rare.
Be fun. Yeah, I like that. That's a good analogy. I like that.
Yeah, and people don't need to write in the comments about how rare or not rare albino zebras are. I'm just guessing here.
We could skip that one.
Yeah.
Oh, but it is a good analogy, I think.
Yeah, and so, but even so, even when a player gets voted out by just one person, or even on those rare occasions when they aren't voted out by anybody, we still go through My Survivor rules to see what they did right and where they went wrong. And anyone who wants to catch up on those rules can do so at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. In Lauren's final words, she said, "The only reason why I'm here is my dumb self gave Mike a piece of the hidden immunity idol." And, you know, yeah, OK, she's partly right. And I have no doubt that this will be a factor. I can also definitely say it wasn't the only reason, because it's almost never that straightforward, which is good, because if it were, we wouldn't have much to say here.
That's true.
But we do have some things to say. So it's time to figure out why Lauren lost.
Perfect.
We will start with the first rule, which, of course, says to scheme and plot. Now, just 1 week prior to being booted, Lauren was being lauded as a strategic genius for pulling together this breakaway alliance within the seven by choosing who would go on the reward with her, getting them to agree. How do you think she did overall?
Overall, I think that Lauren did a fantastic job scheming and plotting because she did it in increments, if you will, because if you look at where she started this game with the Hustlers, just looking at the tribe and learning the little bit that we knew about them before the game started, a lot of people had Lauren on the outs, that she was going to have a hard time fitting in, that she wasn't going to mesh well, and that she was going to be going home relatively early. And Ryan even said that in some of his pregame interviews when asked specifically about Lauren, that if she doesn't perform well in challenges, she's going to be early on gone. So I think the read on Lauren was she's not going to do well. But Lauren recognized that in herself and was able to maneuver her way through a situation that might not have boded well for her, considering the Hustler tribe went to tribal council twice. And she managed to really dig in her heels and fight when it came between her and Patrick, that she needed to stay versus Patrick needed to go. And she did the same thing at the swap. She dug in her heels again, even though she was only one Hustler against three healers and one hero, and managed to create relationships and move the game forward and then get into that seven at the merge and then turn it into that four. So I think that the progression of her game was fantastic when it came to scheming and plotting. However, it certainly wasn't perfect. And I think there were areas that she definitely didn't do well on. And I think part of that is it really boils down to Ben and how she handled Ben and how she managed Ben. That was, I think, one of her biggest flaws with her scheming and plotting.
Okay, and I suspect we will get to that in the second rule. But yeah, you said, well, almost everything I would say, you know, all the way back to the third episode, she talked to us about strategy. And in a web confessional, she said strategy is like fishing. She has to figure out when the right time is to make moves, talk to Allie, etc. If she waits too long to have a conversation, someone else might take her catch.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did all the things that you said. She fought to stick around. She stayed longer than Simone and Patrick. And, you know, she maneuvered through it. And it got to the point where, like, her strategic abilities impressed Cole, who told Josh in his exit interview that she did an amazing job of flipping from the bottom to the top. And she used people's information really well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even when it came to this last tribal council, she did manage to somehow convert it from one where almost everyone was probably targeting her to one that was targeting Ben. And mm-hmm. now some of that was Ben himself, because he said in the web confessional that he was going to purposely paint a target on himself to draw in the vote so he could ensure Lauren would get voted out by him. But she had to do some quick talking as well.
Yes. And that's the one thing I have to say about her ability to handle tribal in the way that she did. She went to a lot of tribal councils and she always managed to say things at tribal council that could have potentially backfired on her. But the manner in which she presented her arguments, the way that she handled herself when she called Patrick out point blank on the "I trust most, but not all of the people in my tribe." She did a lot of work when she was at tribal council, which was very impressive because I feel like tribal council can have an effect on people and almost mute them because they're afraid to say what they really want to say. And I think Lauren did it, but she did it in such a way that it helped further her game as opposed to hinder her game.
Right. No, I agree. So since you mentioned some potential issues with dealing with Ben, we'll move on to the second rule. Now, I need to note, the second rule is not, as Dr. Mike said on the show, to have a plan B. That's really the third rule. And nor is it what he said on Twitter in response to me pointing out what I just said, which was that the second rule was to wake up and say hello to everyone in the morning, because that's closer to the fifth rule.
We'll get you there, Mike. We'll get you there.
Yeah. The real second rule discusses how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much and backstabbing too soon. And, you know, Lauren had several problems with this rule. But one of them is not the one that I'm sure some listeners want me to say. And I'm sure of this because I've already heard it on Twitter. I do not think Lauren decided to backstab too soon by forming the breakaway alliance and turning on the seven before they actually got down to seven. I think that part of the plan worked well.
That was an amazing plan.
Yeah, they got the jump on, you know, part of her larger alliance that wanted to get rid of her and would never have taken her to the end. And she did it in a way that kept herself numerically ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think that move was perfect in the way that she executed it, because a lot of times when you see people that win a reward challenge and then they get to choose people, even Jeff pointed out the fact that she was picking people like super quick. Because she knew what she needed to do. She had already thought this through. It wasn't like she was standing there hemming and hawing, trying to figure it out. She had a plan. She had an opportunity to execute it. And you saw her do that once she chose the people that she was bringing to that reward. And then how she actually handled the conversation at that reward challenge and really took control of the game at that point by creating that four and making everyone feel comfortable enough to honestly reveal their secrets and go along with this plan. It was incredibly impressive. And I was blown away because that was Lauren stepping up her game from where it had been. She had done very well managing her way through, and she saw a moment and she took it and she executed it almost flawlessly.
Yeah. And now here's the time where I dropped the other shoe. Because
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, because like you said, she made everybody feel comfortable. And I said she was numerically ahead. And both of those are true if they hadn't turned on Ben at this point.
Yes.
Because that is where she backstabbed too soon. Mm-hmm. And okay, so I know that some may object and say that Ben forced the issue. For example, I believe that Stephen on the Know-It-All said Ben walked up on the three at the well when Devin was about to convince them not to vote out Ben. Okay, it might have seemed that way at first when, you know, on first watching, but it turns out that discussion had already been ongoing since at least right after the Joe Tribal Council. And this is where some of these secret scenes and other web clips come in, because in the extended secret scene for this episode, we see that the well was not the first time Ben walked up on his allies talking to each other and then suddenly getting quiet when he mm-hmm. got there.
Yep.
You know, we see Devin in that clip saying it's either Ben or Chrissy next. And then Ben said in a web confessional from earlier in the episode that it was clear he was on the outside of his alliance because they weren't talking to him and they kept giving him sideways looks. Additionally, Lauren said in a web confessional that her true alliance was with Ashley and Devin. They knew Ben was a threat and they couldn't take him to the final three. So even if they had decided not to target him in this tribal council, it was apparently written all over their faces that they would be doing so very shortly. And as I mentioned earlier, Ben was 100% right to be paranoid, no matter what Lauren has said since then in her interviews.
Yes. And they really were very bad actors because
yes.
whenever he said it in one of his confessionals, the extra confessional that I guess would be called a secret scene, he actually described that moment where when he came down to talk to them and he was actually trying to escape Chrissy by coming down and being with his group of people. And they all just muted themselves and then kind of looked at him a little bit. And you could see how uncomfortable everyone was. And Ben's a smart guy. And he knows that in that moment, when people mute themselves, you know that you've walked into a conversation and you're being talked about. And it's something they don't want you to hear. And so I think that unfortunately for that core group, for Devin, Ashley, and Lauren, and we can throw Mike in there too, because Mike didn't do a great job trying to fix the response that Ben had walking into that conversation, but that you have to have almost like a backup. If we're all sitting here talking, we've got to have something that we're talking about in case Ben shows up or in case Chrissy shows up. So you can continue the conversation and not sit there with like deer in headlights and not having anything to say.
Yeah, I mean, something like, oh, good, Ben, you're here. We were just going to talk to you about this.
Right.
You know, we got to target Chrissy.
Yes.
We were just going to go get you. Good timing.
Exactly. Like, you got to have some backup plan like that. You can't be like, oh, let's stop talking. And then everybody stops talking. Yeah.
So, you know, that was an issue. And I suspect that was the issue you were thinking of, too.
Yes. And I think part of Lauren's issue with this, don't scheme and plot too much and keep your scheming a secret. The problem that I think Lauren ran into was the whole concept behind the four that she created was there will be no secrets. We're all on the same page. We're putting it all on the table. Here's everything. I've got an advantage. This person's got an idol. This is what we're doing. And that was the whole concept behind this four. There will be no secrets. And when one of them is now feeling like the other three are keeping secrets, of course, it makes sense for that person to feel like they're on the outs because that was the whole concept in the creation of it.
Right. Exactly. So, that's where Lauren and her crew there definitely had a problem. Now, one thing I want to address in addition is what about the possibility that they backstabbed Ben too late? And this comes from, among other things, Joe saying from the jury that they kept Ben in too long. My opinion, I think backstabbing Ben a tribal council earlier would have been even worse for Lauren and company, though, you know, obviously better for Joe.
Right.
You know, we know that Joe was planning to use a form of the pendulum strategy rather than acting as a solid number for Lauren's group. And that pendulum would have swung back Lauren's way soon enough if they had voted out Ben a tribal council earlier.
Mm-hmm. No, that is true. And it's one of those things you woulda, shoulda, coulda. You can kind of, right, you know, work through the numbers and try to see where it's going to play out. It appears that Lauren, based on exit interviews, that she really liked Joe. And it also appears from her Ponderosa video that she and Joe have some type of a bond. They went fishing together, crabbing together. So they at least seem to be close. And she actually said that Joe, she wanted to keep Joe, but everyone else was so over Joe and wanted to get rid of him. So maybe the pendulum would have swung back, but not swung at Lauren, because perhaps he would have continued or wanted to continue to play with her. So it's possible that she would have been in not a good place. But I think between the three, between Devin, Ashley, and herself, out of that three, yeah, she's the one that people are going to target, because she's the one that's actually kind of creating this environment and creating this for and kind of responsible for it and has the secret advantage, and which wasn't a secret. So I think out of that three, yeah, she's probably the biggest target.
Right. Now, one more point about this rule before we move on. I would say that giving Dr. Mike half the idol does fall into the category of scheming and plotting too much, because, yeah, you can earn trust and show others that they're part of the plan going forward, but you can't risk your own immediate safety in such an obvious manner.
No, and, you can't. And you're on, you know, Fiji, for God's sakes. Pick up another another shell. Just get a different shell. He'll never know.
Yeah.
Lauren.
So I suspect we might talk about that a little bit more later.
Yes, we can put a pin in that one too.
Yes, there's lots of pins going on here. All right, so we'll move on to the third rule, which tells players they need to be flexible. How do you think Lauren did here?
I think she was really flexible, and we kind of mentioned it in rule one, where she was able to maneuver herself through these various groups that she found herself in and find someone within that group that she could form a relationship with and have an ability to kind of call people out on their stuff, but not necessarily out herself at the same time. It was kind of okay that she did that. So I think that her ability to work with the people that she found herself to be in groups with, she did really well with that.
Yeah, I agree. And, I think even beyond that, she was the one who spurred the formation of the Breakaway Alliance, while some of the seven were just happily waiting to get down to seven.
That's very true. Yep.
So I would say she definitely had the right idea when it came to being flexible. She looked at her options. She pulled in the ones she thought would form the best core group. And, you know, at that point, we saw her talking through the various possibilities and helping to decide which one to go with. So, yeah, I'd agree. She did fine in terms of this rule.
Mm-hmm.
So we move to the fourth, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. And holy crap, was there a lot of that going on by various players this week?
Yeah. Yes, I think that's a great way to say it.
So, I mean, the question we have is whether Lauren was among them. Now, I would say the answer to that is no. I think she was certainly better than Chrissy and Ben when it came to following the planned path and not worrying about who screwed whom previously, or, mm-hmm, you know, oh, I need to get revenge on this person or make them look bad.
Yeah.
You know, and she even called out Ben on that very issue. She understood that this is a game and she was doing her best to let strategy guide her, I think.
Yes. And she did say Ben was taking it too personal. Well, and she actually, in her pregame interview, she told Josh Wiggler that her philosophy was to play with my head, don't play with my heart, which I right. think that's exactly what she was trying to do. And it's interesting when you start kind of reviewing what people's pregame ideas of Lauren were and how Lauren was presenting herself pregame. She was very kind of cool and calm and collected and didn't really showboat or make herself really noticed. Allie said she never even saw where she was half the time, but but I think that she had a great way of just kind of reading people and reading a room. And that's how she was playing Survivor. She was doing it the same way. She was reading the situations and she was reading the people, and she was trying to work the game through her head versus her heart. And a great example of that is Patrick. She and Patrick, and Cole for that matter too, she and Patrick butted heads. He kind of made her crazy. She really wanted to yell at him because he acted like a child, but she never did. She kept that part controlled because she knew that that wasn't going to help her game. She did the same thing with Cole, with his eating and how, you know, that annoyed her and frustrated her. But again, she didn't focus on that and didn't fight with him about that. So she really did have a way of controlling her emotions and not letting that take control of her game.
Yeah, I mean, with Cole, you know, we saw him cut her off and tell her to not cut him off, which she clearly had not done, mm-hmm. In the middle of one of his hangry spells. And she just let him go and didn't say anything and then told us, well, fine, you act that way. It's only going to help me.
Yes. I do think, though, that there was a moment when she gave Mike the shell. And I know we're probably going to talk about this more. I feel like that was an emotional moment for her as opposed to necessarily a smart move where she was thinking it through. I mean, she described it in her exit interviews why she did it. She wanted to keep Mike close. But she also knew what Mike's character was. And she knew how Mike can't keep secrets. And if you tell him something, he tells everybody else. So they were kind of using Mike for that as well, because they know he's just going to spread the information around, which is exactly what we saw him do. And, you know, this was probably one of the greatest telephone scenes in Survivor, I think, right, when everyone was sharing everybody's information about everyone else. And I feel like her in that moment, that was pure emotion. That was not a well thought out move.
You know, as we were preparing for the podcast, as I was preparing, I thought about that. And in my notes, I had that in there and then I took it out because I was going back and forth. Was it an emotional moment or was it strategy on her part? You know, you look at her interviews and she says it was strategy. But on the other hand, I think she said a couple of times she did it kind of on the spur of the moment, mm-hmm. which makes it sound more like an emotional thing. Like, oh, I think this would be a good idea. But was she doing it because she thought it would be a good idea or she felt it, you know, that fine yeah. line there. And so I just don't know.
Well, that was the only time I really remember seeing her look defeated. Like when she was sitting on that swing and she passed it to him, like you could see it on her face. She just looked defeated. That's not the Lauren that we were accustomed to seeing. We were used to seeing a very strong-willed woman who was kind of in control. And in that moment, she looked like a different Lauren.
Yeah. And, you know, if she had held on to that shell, she would not have been defeated.
I know. Oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah. But anyway, so let's move on to the fifth rule, which says to pretend to be nice and play the social game. So how do you think Lauren did in this one?
Again, she was great at this. And I think we can go back to the Patrick and Cole thing that we've already discussed, that she never allowed the headbutting that she had with those two or their personalities to really affect the way that she was playing the game. She recognized that and she kept that part controlled. I think that she did very well pretending to be nice to everyone she needed to play with, but for the situation with Ben. That was the only that we come back to Ben again, where, you know, she didn't handle Ben as well as she should have.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people coming in expected Lauren to have problems with the social game. And she even said in an episode 3 web confessional that it's hard for her to talk with the rest of her tribe because she's not into YouTube. She doesn't know the pop stars, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she got past that. She made the necessary social inroads. And even Desi said in interviews that they weren't showing enough of Lauren on television. And even said she was very smart and charming. She's a lot more likable than the edit she's getting because she's hilarious. Now, obviously, at the time, Desi didn't know that Lauren would get more airtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we did get a few glimpses of Lauren's humor. Often we saw it come out because of how blunt and no nonsense she was. And on the flip side of the humor aspect, that also came out sometimes when she was talking games, such as when she chastised Chrissy for not talking to her sooner, which incidentally and totally off the topic here, it does seem to be a bit of a trend.
Yes.
Both Rourke and Lauren complained about Chrissy, you know, doing that. And then both of them were voted out. So I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, that's an interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
But you know, obviously Ben ended up being the lone vote against Lauren. I think Chrissy only switched at the last minute because she had been told the vote was going against Lauren. She seemed to want Lauren out in that tribal council, and she was holding to it even when there was a suggestion no switch. She went, no, no.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, they convinced her, and I think it was that they just said, look, all the votes are going toward Ben.
Yeah, that was a whole lot of craziness. Just a whole lot of craziness going on there. Like, too much.
I had to watch that a couple times. So.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
You know, now, all that said, I can understand why Lauren would say that to Chrissy, but I feel like whenever someone does that, it's generally a sign that the person doing it let a bit of power go to their head.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, I think Lauren felt like she was in control, that Chrissy was down on the bottom and was only now trying to make something happen. And, you know, okay, maybe Lauren was thinking Chrissy was not long for the game, so why bother with her?
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen, and as we should know, things don't always work out that way. And it almost never hurts to put on a smile and pretend to hear someone out. And also, let's not forget that even if Lauren had come out on top and had made it to the final three, Chrissy still would have probably been a juror.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a really interesting thing that you bring up as far as the power kind of going to people's heads, because I do feel like that was an area where Lauren and Ashley and Devin all struggled with, because they obviously sat out with Devin and Lauren sat out with Ben on the peanut butter and chocolate option, you know, as opposed to let's have the immunity challenge or you can eat peanut butter and chocolate. They sat out. Mike talked about it in one of his web confessionals, how I think he called Devin stupid for giving up immunity in the manner that he did, for multiple reasons. And he listed off all of the reasons why it was a bad idea for Devin, because what it represented about Devin's relationship within his tribe and how comfortable he felt. And so I do feel like there was a little bit of a power trip going on with those three, because they seemed so lock and step that it was going to be those three in the end, that they forgot there's other people out there that can, I don't know, find an idol and perhaps throw a wrench in their plans, and which is exactly what happened. It's almost like they lost sight of the fact that, no, there's still more game to be played. Ashley has said in one of her confessionals, it doesn't matter which way I work it out, I'm going to the final three. Well, that's a lot of confidence, and we're not there yet. So I do think that perhaps Lauren and Devin and Ashley should have taken a step back. And yeah, when Chrissy came to Lauren and approached her and wanted to talk, use that to your benefit and try to find out where Chrissy's head is at.
Yeah. Now, as far as Ashley, I do think she's right. I do think she's headed for the final three,
not
for the reason that she thinks she is.
I know. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. I think she's headed there because, and you know, Joe yelled it at her, you know, you're a goat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe I wouldn't necessarily use that term, because I know using that term can get us in trouble. But,
yes. Yes, it can.
but, you know, I do think that of those who are left, she has the appearance of having done the least if she would get to the final three.
Yes. Yeah. And the unfortunate thing that I think for Ashley, and I got to give Chrissy some credit here for her trying to get Ashley to recognize this, that you're going to be sitting next to two people who will beat you. I mean, Chrissy told her that point blank.
Right.
And Ashley doesn't see it, or didn't see it, didn't recognize it. And she did make a point that, well, of course, that's what Chrissy's going to say, because she wants to vote one of them out. She wants to break up our three, which is a good point in and of itself. You're all kind of combating for the same place. But this is that moment where you really have to look at your game and try to make a determination as to who can I beat in the final three. And her sitting next to Lauren and Devin, she's not winning. So, but unfortunately, in her mind, she sees that she's playing a great game. She was winning immunities, so, because she was offering up massages. but yeah, so that's, I do. Yeah, I think that that's one of those situations where you really have to start looking at everyone that's left as opposed to the people that you've been working with.
Right. All right. So we took a bit of a tangent there.
Yeah, sorry which about hopefully, that.
No, that's okay. I did too. So we'll put a pin in that for much longer, you know, for maybe 2 weeks here.
Yes.
That's a long lasting pin.
Yeah, that is.
As we move on to the sixth rule, which warns players against being too much of a threat. Now, I'm just going to quote Ben to show how clear this one was, because he said, "You're the biggest threat in the game, Lorne." And he didn't just say it once. That one was on the show. He also said in a web confessional, "I have to take out the biggest threat to me." And of course, he was talking about Lorne.
Mm-hmm.
And in Tribal Council, when Lorne asked Ben what part of a game move was you telling people about the idol, his answer was that it's part of the game where it showed she's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, okay, well, then what made her such a threat? Well, where to begin? She took the lead in creating the Breakaway Alliance. She was targeting Ben. She was solid with Devin and Ashley. She had an idol. She had an extra vote advantage. The threat factors just kept piling on.
Mm-hmm. And she's not really angered anyone who's on the jury.
Right.
Which makes you an additional threat.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think the longer she would have stayed in the game, the more power she would have had, especially if she would have succeeded in taking out Ben. I think Ben actually did a huge favor for at least Dr. Mike and probably Chrissy and Ryan by taking Lorne out, because if Ben would have been voted out successfully, then Lorne could have used her extra vote to ensure that probably Dr. Mike would go in the next vote. Then they would have had Chrissy and Ryan at their mercy. So I'm not sure how Devin convinced Dr. Mike to switch his vote. I don't know if Dr. Mike was just not looking ahead or he just believed Devin, even though Devin had lied to him like literally every single time they had spoken previously.
Poor Dr. Mike.
Yeah. But honestly, Dr. Mike should be glad that it didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my word. There's so much there. There's just so much there.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you have anything to add for, you know, Lorne being a threat.
Well, everything you've said is absolutely spot on, and I would agree wholeheartedly. She clearly was a huge threat. And I guess that's the part of this game that I think as viewers has us scratching our heads sometimes, because we do kind of wonder, well, what's Dr. Mike's plan moving forward? And what's, yeah, and that Chrissy and Ryan should have been excited or ecstatic to take someone like Lorne out. Because really, if we go back to looking at who's left and who you potentially could bring to the final three, knowing that Lorne has a good relationship with a significant number of jurors, she hasn't upset anyone and she's played a fantastic game for the most part. And Ben, who has angered some people, at least from what we've seen, has some people on the jury that might not like him a whole lot. Out of the two of them, Lorne is more of a threat, I think, than Ben taking him to the final three versus taking Lorne.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's why Dr. Mike and Chrissy and Ryan were all on board to vote out Lorne at the beginning of that tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have asked, why did Dr. Mike throw that idol in the fire if he was voting against Ben and was going to have to go back to camp with Lorne? Well, I think the reason is at that moment, he was planning on voting Lorne out. It wasn't until Devin came over and convinced him that everything switched. Mm-hmm. And then, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Chrissy and Ryan were planning on voting Lorne out. And then that all switched too, probably because they realized they were on the losing end of the votes at that point.
And I do think it was a good read on Devin's part, because Lorne did mention in one of her exit interviews that as soon as Devin stood up and went and talked to Dr. Mike, she knew she was in trouble. So the fact that Devin tried to really take control of the moment and wrangle everybody where they needed to be as far as the votes were concerned was a really good read. And I wish that Lorne had taken that a step further and said, okay, Devin's clearly reading this moment and knowing that, and she knew she was in trouble too, but she's got an extra vote in her pocket. you know, and like that, we'll talk about that in Rule 7, I'm sure. But, you know, that's one of those situations where so many things needed to come together, and they kind of did. But again, nobody knew Ben had an idol. Again, we'll talk about that in Rule 7, I'm sure. But there were just so many things happening in that moment, and a lot of mixed emotions. And I agree, but Dr. Mike probably threw that in at the time that he was going to be voting for Lauren.
Yeah. So since you brought up Rule 7, let's go ahead and move there, because that rule talks about how to get and use idols and advantages. And obviously Lauren had, you know, several of them and used or really didn't use them in different ways. As Dr. Mike has said, an idol or advantage is a blessing or a curse. So, you know, we had this situation with her, and she had that extra vote in her pocket. She had half an idol, which did her no good at that point. I mean, what did you think of how Lauren handled all of this?
Well, I think that Devin made a very interesting point in one of his secret scenes where he was referencing idols. And he said, I think that if you have an idol and if no one knows about it, that's a good thing. When you tell one person, it becomes a curse. Ryan made this mistake. I would have not told anyone. And that was part of the creation of this four, was we're going to tell everybody all of our secrets. And so she really kind of instilled this idea that we are all going to share all of this information. But obviously, when Ben felt like he was on the outs with that four, he's not following that rule anymore. He's not going to share that information. And even Devin was questioning why anyone would share that information. And if he had an idol, he wouldn't have told anyone. That's what he says. I don't know if that's what would have happened. But I do think that Lauren put a lot of faith into that concept and that idea that we are going to share this information. And she explained why she had to share the advantage with Ben, because at that point in time, they wanted to split votes. And if they had split votes, it would have looked off with her, because she was going to be using her advantage that night and it wouldn't have worked. So she had to tell Ben. And that's fine. But I feel like the point that she was at in this game, where you're so close to the end, you have played a really incredible game and you've been controlling so many aspects of it, to then find half of an immunity idol, or to find what you think is going to be an immunity idol when you're with Devin and Ben, and to point it out to them, that's mistake number one, because at that point you're targeting Ben. Why are you telling Ben about a potential idol? And then to take the half of the idol that you got from the immunity challenge and hand it over to Dr. Mike, who is someone who, as you have already said, you've lied to every single tribal council and have kind of used him as a pigeon, if you will, to send information, you know, to others in the tribe. You give him half of your idol, and then to sit in tribal council when you've got that incredible advantage in your pocket and tell everyone, oh, I left it back at camp, and then feel like for some reason you have to stick by that when you go up to vote, blows my mind. So who cares if you've told them all I don't have it? Go up and use it and surprise them all, because you know what? You're at a point in the game where those relationships don't matter as much as they used to. It's you're trying to get to the end. And if you have an opportunity to, I'm going to throw two votes towards Chrissy and see what happens. She could have stayed if she had just done that. So, yeah, there's just a lot there. There's so many parts of Rule 7 that we could spend a significant amount of time on.
Yeah. And, you know, you hit a lot of the high points. Now, before I get into my own thoughts, I do want to talk to you more about the extra vote thing, because the only way I could see her using it successfully was if she knew Ben had an idol. Mm-hmm. And she didn't.
Right.
Now, she said in some interviews that she knew something was up with him because he was way too happy. And that just sounds like hindsight is 20/20. Mm-hmm. But it hadn't occurred to me what you just said. Like, not only could she have used the extra vote, but her own vote and thrown them both at Chrissy. And yeah, okay, if that had happened, it would have turned out that Lauren would have been safe. But would that have been more likely to cause her to get voted out like it did with Stephen Fishback?
Mm.
You know, where he split the votes and after marinating in it, he thought that he was on the right side and it turned out he wasn't. Now, if she thinks it's come down to her and Ben and she's not entirely sure that she has the numbers, although Devin is, you know, probably telling her, yes, we do, then one, using it, if she uses it, it almost would have to be against Ben just to make sure that the numbers go the way she wants them to.
And that's true. But you also have to think about how, and I know, again, Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, she's probably looking at it going, oh, well, Ben was too happy in tribal council. I do think that Ben was putting on a show in tribal council. And for someone who I think has never performed in that fashion in tribal, he's been defensive in tribal councils before, but he took on a much different role in that tribal council. And I feel like someone who's acting in that way, you have to wonder, why do they feel so confident? Because he was to believe he was putting all of his faith into Chrissy and Ryan and Mike when he hadn't been playing with them. He had turned on them. Chrissy was clearly mad at him. It was a personal vendetta. And then to suddenly see him sitting there acting as if he's got these people in his corner, which he allegedly did, but they clearly all changed their minds. I just feel like at that point, you want to do everything you can to try to protect yourself. But yes, it's tribal council. You're hungry. You're tired. You've been living on an island for over 30 days. You're not thinking straight. All of that comes into play. But knowing that she was in such a bad place leading up to that tribal council, she should have never given away half of the immunity idol to try to mend fences with Mike. Yes. I mean, she shouldn't have done that. But then also, take advantage of what you've got. And if you think that there's a chance that you're going home, and if there's a chance that Ben's got an idol, throw a couple of votes somewhere else and see what happens. I mean, you just never know. You just never know. And it would have been a phenomenal moment, but it didn't happen, obviously. I'd rather do that than go home with it in my pocket.
Right. I'm just trying to think, okay, if Chrissy and Ryan had stayed with Ben, and she throws a couple of votes somewhere else, so they only have Dr. Mike, they end up having 3 votes for Ben, 3 votes for Lauren, and then 2 votes for Chrissy, which means it comes down to a Ben and Lauren tiebreaker. And so I'm just piecing this all out to see, you know, if she was thinking that way. And I really do feel like it probably was too much to expect of her.
Oh, yeah.
To do in the moment.
Oh, I'm sure, because there were so many things happening.
Right. It's kind of like, it reminds me of, I listened to some poker podcasts, and they will break down a hand, and they will take 45 minutes to break down a hand when the person that was actually there probably spent 45 seconds on it.
Yes, and you know? That is true, because it is one of those situations where tribal council, everything does kind of happen so fast, and your brain is spinning a mile a minute, because you're trying to work out computations in your head and you're trying to figure out, how is this going to end up? And if I do this, where am I going to be? And how is it going to affect my relationships with this one and that one? So yeah, there's so many things going on in your head that I totally understand why she didn't do it. But I guess it was almost like a perfect storm for Lauren. Everything was heading in like this beautiful sunrise kind of moment for Lauren. And then, you know, the winds picked up and the storm was brewing, and it hit her all at once, where suddenly now all of the things that she had going for her, that advantage, the finding the hidden immunity idol, all of those things just all crumbled at the same moment. And the decisions that were made with those items backfired, you know, where she couldn't, if she had written Chrissy's name down, she obviously would have been in the game still. But she, again, didn't know Ben had an idol. If she had kept the other half of the idol, she would have played it and she would have still been in the game. So there's all of these, again, woulda, coulda, shoulda things that we can sit back and go, oh, well, she should have done this and she should have done that. Sure, because we're not sitting there in that moment when the pressure's on and all of these crazy things are happening around you.
Right. Now, with all that said, I do have some woulda, coulda, shouldas that she shoulda done.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
And you know, so, you know, before I get to that, in this rule, I note that under most circumstances, it makes sense to keep idols and advantages completely secret.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also discuss how some people say it's sometimes better to make use of an idol as an alliance building tool to bring people together. And, you know, that while I can occasionally see it working that way, more often than not, secrecy is the best policy. And later in the rule, I also say if everyone knows you have an advantage, you may have put a big target on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And in Lauren's specific case, she told Rob and other interviews that, you know, she indeed shared her secrets as a way to try and build trust in the alliance. I understand the urge to do this, but she overshared. You know, I think it only occasionally works that way, and it's better to keep it a complete secret when you can, or at the very least, limit the number of people you tell.
Well, and she wouldn't have been able to do that here because Ben had diarrhea of the mouth sometimes, as did Mike. So,
well, and that's why you limit it. And that's the other thing. You know, we had talked about in why Cole lost. We had talked about how he had told a whole bunch of people about the first immunity idol. And wanting to target Joe without having a clue where any of those people stood or might stand in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same here, at least in terms of the future. Lauren figured that these people were an alliance till the end and didn't think anyone would turn on them. So it was okay to tell everyone all the secrets.
Right.
But you don't know which way things are going to go.
Yeah, and maybe it would have been better for her, too, is... if you want to share, just share some of what the advantage is versus what it actually is. You know, switch it up a little bit. They don't need to know all the details. She could have come up with some other spin on it that, you know, I have an extra vote, but I can't use it until we get here, you know, where we get to X, as opposed
to... Even say that she got hit with the same thing that Devin got hit with earlier. Okay, here's the deal. I got hit with a secret disadvantage.
Yeah.
I will not be able to vote in this tribal council.
Yes.
So we have to switch things up.
Yeah, do something. That would have been a great, oh my word, see you, she plays Survivor. That would have been a great way for her to avoid that whole thing with Ben where she had to share the advantage. Oh, I like that. That's good.
So anyway, you know, to wrap this up, I also think it's clear now that players should not give things to other players as a sign of trust. So far in the last two seasons, we've seen it done twice and neither of them worked out well. Ceri tried to use Sarah's advantage last season and Dr. Mike, of course, threw away Lauren's half idol when she needed it the most. So I think I'll be adding a mention of this into the rule. Don't give away your stuff.
Yeah, no, hold on to it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Both metaphorically, don't give away as the secret, and literally don't hand it over.
Mm-hmm. Or hand them a fake shell.
Right.
Do you know how incredible that would have been if that's what she had done? If she had
that's
handed
what I tweeted.
Him?
I was like, yes. I mean, I like Dr. Mike, but I was like, oh my God, this would be so hysterical.
That would have been
awesome.
If we
found out that it was nothing.
Yeah. If he stood up,
no.
Threw it in the fire, and then she's like, oh, wait, no, Jeff, I want to play this. Sorry,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
That wasn't the real shell. Yeah. That would have been good.
Oh, well. So, all right. Time to move on to Appendix A. And, you know, the question under this appendix is really not so much one of whether the tribe made the right decision, but rather did Ben make the right decisions? And, you know, his was the only one that counted. Normally, I would have said the Alliance of Four should have been targeting a strong person outside of their group. But when Lauren, Devin, and Ashley turned on Ben, well, that pretty much left Ben without any other choice. And between the three targeting him, you know, you said it earlier, Lauren was clearly the one who was the most threatening to his game going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, by targeting her, it allows him the opportunity to paint Devin and Ashley as a power couple going forward, which he indicated in a web confessional is indeed his plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you have anything else to say in terms of this appendix.
No, he clearly made his vote count.
He took Lauren out.
He took my girl out. Sorry, Lauren. That's so sad.
Yeah, well.
Sad.
All right. So now we move on to Appendix B. And well, there's not much to say here, because while we are in the jury phase, I don't really think having Lauren on the jury was part of Ben's master plan, except for the fact that, you know, she wouldn't be in the game anymore and he wouldn't be on the jury. So,
yeah,
you know, it certainly was a reason many of the players wanted Ben out, because they don't want to face him at the end. But I don't think it was a consideration really for targeting Lauren.
I doubt it. And also, the one thing that Ben now would have to consider in making this move, he's the sole reason why. I mean, I say sole reason. Obviously, we've discussed all of the things that Lauren did, but his right. vote is what took Lauren out. So when she's standing there, if he makes final three and she's asking a question, he's going to have to be very mindful of the fact that she's sitting over there because of what I did. Now, is she going to respect that move, or is she going to be upset with me because of that? You know, and then that's one of those things you have to kind of weigh. How is that person going to read what I did? I mean, she did say in her exit interviews that there was somewhat of a respect for what he did, because he did what I was trying to do. But he one-upped me, basically. So maybe there'll be some mutual respect if he ends up in the final three, but I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope that's the way it turns out if he's in the final three, because too many times we've seen jurors who are targeting someone and then that person gets them out. And then when it comes time to vote for a winner, they don't vote for that winner because they say, well, you got me out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you were trying to get them out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, what's good for the goose is not what's good for the gander yes. in those situations.
I'm fearful we're going to have a bitter jury, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who's going to be on the jury
know,
at this point.
But
and
I
who's
still
not,
feel like but, it's going to be bitter.
Yeah. So, all right. So we're done with the rules. Before I sum up my conclusions, what are your final thoughts about Lauren?
Well, I have to say I blame myself, Lauren. I jinxed it last week when I talked about how all three of my draft picks were still in the game and how I was doing exceptionally well in my draft pick. And I even said, I'm jinxing myself because that means one of them is going to go home. And unfortunately, it was Lauren. I do think that Lauren was playing a phenomenal game. And I respected her for a lot of reasons, because she's not your typical Survivor winner. And I think I mentioned this a couple weeks back, that if she were to end up winning the game, I would be really happy, because she's not someone who is what you envision when you're thinking of who wins Survivor. But she presented herself throughout the game as someone who should win Survivor. I think she did a great job in maneuvering herself through the game. And I think that if you look at some of the comments that were made about her pregame, Alan commented on the way she studies every single thing. She doesn't say much, but she was studying. JP, I have to mention this, he said, another great contender and things like that. I had to mention it because it's so him. But I do think that she didn't come across as threatening in pregame, but I think she had a quiet manner about her that allowed her to make some determinations about people. One of the things someone noted about her was that they said she was normally asleep, but she was sitting there listening to music wearing sunglasses inside. That's kind of a poker player kind of move, right? You wear your sunglasses so people can't see what you're looking at and what you're paying attention to. So I respect that if that's what she was doing. So I think overall, Lauren had the potential to win this game, but I do think that she put too much faith in her core group, and she did overshare, as you've already mentioned, and put herself in a position where she ultimately didn't need to be, because of setting herself up as really a threatening player. She really did set herself up as the most threatening out of that three between she and Ashley and Devin, and all of her secrets were out there. Everyone knew everything that Lauren had and everything she was bringing to the table. Ben didn't do that. He kept his secrets close to the vest, and ultimately he ended up taking this one and sending Lauren packing, because he played a different type of game than Lauren did, and that was keeping secrets. And I think that in this type of game, you have to do that. And that's where I think Lauren ultimately messed up and ultimately lost the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, right after Lauren's torch was snuffed, She said it happened because she gave Dr. Mike half her idol. And so, you know, the question that we set out to answer here was, is that really the reason why? And well, yes, in the immediate sense, it was. If she hadn't given away half her idol, she could have and probably would have played it and been safe. And then the Lauren versus Ben conflict would have gone on for another few days. But giving it away was part of an overall problem Lauren had with oversharing and overscheming. Lauren did well to make it past the first few votes, and even better, to pull together the sub-alliance within the seven and make a move before her opponents could. But she took it one step too far, planning to oust Ben before she should have. And she, Devin, and Ashley were not good enough actors to pull it off. If we use her own comparison from earlier in the game, which is that strategy is like fishing, and she needed to figure out when the right time was, I'd say she had a nibble, and she jerked up her fishing pole a bit too quickly, causing her prey to get spooked. That, plus her idol and advantage, made her a big threat, not just to Ben, but to the others, such that Ben could use it to try to make inroads with them. Part of that was, of course, the way she chose to share all the information about the idol and the advantage. Ben, as you said, chose the path of keeping his information secret. Because of that, he was able to follow his own plan and paint a target on himself so he could ensure that Lauren got the only vote that mattered, which was his. She had made herself too big a threat to Ben and also gave away the ability to protect herself. And that is why Lauren lost.
All very true.
All right. So before we get to our predictions, I want to remind people that if you haven't bought your holiday gifts yet, doing so through RHAP helps support all the podcasts here. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/gifts for links, holiday sponsor offers, you name it. So head on over to robhasawebsite.com/gifts before you shop. Now, it is time for predictions. And, well, both of us guessed Ryan would get the boot this week. And we weren't even close because he was probably the safest person.
I know, right?
So as for next time, in case the preview from the end of the episode wasn't obvious enough, the more recent commercial makes it pretty clear. Everyone wants Ben out. Ben, Ben, Ben. I feel like it's the Brady Bunch. Mm-hmm. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. All we heard is Ben, Ben, Ben.
That's so good. That's so good.
So, you know, the big question is whether they will succeed or he will succeed. Now, you were the one of us that had the most recent correct prediction. So I'm going to let you go first on this one.
No, I don't want to do this. Oh, it's horrible. Do you have any idea if you could only see like the computations I've been writing down as to like different new, like this three versus that three versus if this happened? Oh my word. I was spinning my wheels and I was finally like, I can't do this anymore because I'm making myself crazy because I'm not going to be right. So just accept it, Jessica, and move on. You won't be right. You will pick incorrectly. I will say this. I can't imagine that Ben's going home because of the previews. It has been so incredibly clear. And they did show what I believe is the immunity challenge part of it. It looks extremely physical. So if it is as physical as it appears, and if it is the immunity challenge, it's really going to come down to Ben, Devin, and Ashley. And if there's a puzzle at the end, I think it comes down to Ben. So if it's really physical and we get to that point where no one can catch up, I think Ben is probably winning immunity. So I don't think Ben's going to go because I just feel like I can't believe it would have been so obvious that CBS would have been like, everyone's gunning for Ben. And oh, look, Ben goes home. I feel like something weird's going to happen, though. I really do. Like, obviously this week. I'm stalling. Can you tell I'm stalling?
Yes.
Oh, my word. This is so terrible because I've already figured out who I think wins. So that's why I can't even make this prediction. I can't. All right. So. I'm going to say it.
OK.
I think it's Devin.
Ooh. We would. So you're saying that we will have two derailments in 2 weeks because we had the Lauren hype train and the Devin hype train now both derailed?
Yes, that's what I think. I think it's going to be Devin. And it makes me sick to even say that because I don't want to say that. But I just, there's too many things working against this group now. There's just too many things. And I feel like it's going to be Devin.
Okay. Well, you know, the big question is it Ben or someone else? And you chose the route that it wouldn't be Ben. Now, right after Lauren was voted out, she said Ben is playing by himself, which you can't do. And, you know, she was right. And we already talked about how Ben said in the web confessional that his plan would be to paint Devin and Ashley as a power couple. I just don't know if people will care more about that than him. You know, and we do see Dr. Mike say he has a ferocity that transcends this game, which is very dramatic.
It is very dramatic.
Way.
But I think Ben wins immunity, and that's why he gets to stay.
I know. And that's it. The only way I see him sticking around is winning immunity.
Yep.
The difference is I don't think he will. I think that they are actually being honest in the commercials. It happens rarely, but it does happen occasionally where they will just throw everything out there and say, oh, my God, everybody's gunning for Ben. And then at the end of the episode, you go, oh, yeah, Ben left.
Right.
It's not often, but it does happen. And I think this is the time that it happens, that he will not win immunity. And if they don't vote him out at that point, well, then they just all deserve to lose to him. And I think they will realize that. So,
yeah,
I'm going to say it's Ben. And what I will say, if it is not Ben, if Ben wins immunity, I think your pick is the most likely. So.
Well, it's weird because I just feel like there's just been too much like wait till you see the end kind of hype too. And I'm reading so much into everything and I probably should stop doing that because I'm literally making myself insane. And I was talking to my husband just the other night about who my winner pick was and why. And he was like, what are you even saying? And so I just kept going through all of these weird like explanations and reasons. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. So now we need a hashtag. Now I had a couple possibilities, but I want to hear what you have first.
All right. So again, I went back to my husband because I needed some help. I was like, what should my hashtag be? And he said, hashtag don't give away half of your idol. Which is,
it might be a little long.
It's very long. It did make me laugh a lot, though. I thought that was funny. So I did like that one, but that is a lot for people to have to include in a hashtag. That might take up way too much space.
Even with 280.
Yeah, it's too much. The other one I came up with, and it was actually inspired by a lot of what I've heard you say through this podcast, was hashtag overshare.
Ooh.
So that's what I came up
with. All right, I like that one. My possibility was hashtag not paranoid, but I like overshare.
All right. So there we are. Hashtag overshare.
All right. And of course, everybody should know by now that the hashtag for this podcast overall is hashtag YXLost. Everyone should make sure to subscribe to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor. Or just in your podcatcher, look for the RHAP Survivor feed. We are also on the Reality TV Rehap-Ups feed as well. In both places, you can find great RHAP content, like, of course, the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, the RHAP B&B, and much more. And if you want to read instead of listen, you should check out the various blogs at robhasawebsite.com/blog. Also, of course, one more reminder to head over to robhasawebsite.com/gifts for all your holiday shopping needs. In addition to all of that, you can follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89, and I'm at David Bloomberg. Also, if you follow both of us and you follow some of the survivors, you can see that last week's edition of Why Blank Lost was endorsed by both Joe, who was part of it, and Cole as well. So, you know, get into those conversations by following both of us.
Yes, because they're quite fun and entertaining. Yes. So, and occasionally there'll be a picture I post, or two, or three, or even a GIF. So you yeah. want to be part of this action.
And you have to follow both of us for that, because I don't know if you know this, Jessica, but you have a lot more followers than I do.
I do. And we need to address that issue. I've already mentioned it once that if everyone who follows David follows me and vice versa, that would be great for both of us. And then everyone would get all pieces of the conversation. So
that's yes, right.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow both of us. And if you're not following one of us, follow the other one. I hope that makes sense.
It made sense to me. Good. So. All right. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does all the editing on the Why Blank Lost podcasts. Thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, Jessica, for another great episode. And I hope neither of us overshared here.
I don't think we did. But I do have to say before we end this, we haven't mentioned my mother yet. And I know she loves it when yes. we do. So you can say my mother did. She did say hi, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there. So thank you very much for another great episode as well, David. This is fun as always, and I look forward to the next time we get to do this.
That's right. So we will see everyone back here a week from now when we will get to talk about why the next player loses. All right, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. Played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. This is why blank lost.